Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now. It is your inside look at local motorsports, where drivers, crews, race fans, and just about anybody can come and talk about racing. It is a beautiful but rainy Tuesday evening here in Las Vegas. I am your host, Justin Griffiths, and alongside with me, as always, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt. How you doing, Gary?
What's happening?
After a great weekend in Blythe.
Oh, nice sunny day in Blythe. Beautiful weather.
They might have been struggling here with rain, but
we were in Blythe. So.
We were like, what, sunny in 50 or 60?
We were right about 69, almost 70.
What a beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Joining us tonight is a man that raced at Blythe Speedway this weekend, Arca Menards driver, RJ Smotherman. How you doing, RJ?
Good, man. It's good to be here. That was definitely a good weekend in Blythe.
Hey, let's remind everybody, if I'm correct, I read somewhere that was your first time ever at Blythe.
It was.
And the first time ever in a truck.
It was.
Holy smokes. Let's get this show going.
I was talking to him Friday night, and he was like, I ain't never seen the track before. Because he was still in the pit working on the truck. And next thing I know, he came out there and kept getting faster and faster. And we'll talk about the rest
later.
Oh,
yeah. We'll continue that in a while.
But for you that don't know, we had Blythe Speedway this weekend, $1,500 to win street stock race, which I'm happy to say we had a good little race going on there.
Yes.
The tame the beast, not too many people tame that beast.
Nope.
Because Blythe Speedway,
and that's,
as RJ will tell you later, is not a normal track.
And that's part of why we named it Tame the Beast, because it is a,
mm-hmm.
How can I say, I don't want to pass it off as the wrong, it is a rough track to drive.
Yep.
It's not a rough track, it's a rough track to drive.
When everybody talks to me, I tell them it's a lot like Darlington. If you ever watch NASCAR Darlington, where the corners are not the same, that's Blythe Speedway.
Yeah, not even close.
And you can't tell that by looking at the track. If you actually just walk the track, you'll never realize it. And when you're at speed, and you're like, okay, this is a corner. No, this is not a corner.
Yeah,
there's no backstretch.
Before the weekend, I had never even like watched a video of the track, seen pictures of the track, nothing. All I seen was the aerial view from Google Maps, yep. And I was like, man, that place is a circle.
Even that don't.
Not even a circle. Not just.
And one of the girls that races the factory stock named Ashley, she drives the 9, and I kept telling her, because she would go to the backstretch and you would see her try to straighten the car. I was like, let it roll. There's no backstretch. You just keep that thing turned just a little bit. I was like, you'll do fine.
Yeah, I mean, like Don Zerb told me, he goes, if you drive it right, there's straightaways. Because I told him before, I was like, I looked at the aerial map and I'm like, man, this place is a freaking circle. Do you ever stop turning? And he goes, well, if you drive it right, there will be a straightaway. And I figured that out in practice.
I say you look pretty good, and I know Don came running up behind me, and he's like standing there trying to tell him what to do. And I was like, he's gonna figure it out, because you went from like an 18 second all the way down to a 16 second on Friday night. So I was like, right then and there, I knew you figured something out, because
yeah, it was trying to figure it out. I mean, it was a little bit hard to see the lines on the track and where to run, but you know, once I figured it out, once I could see the track on Saturday a little bit better. I got out there, got a few more laps on it. I followed a few guys around there. I followed David Levitt around there a little bit, and he kind of showed me the baseline. And then from there, I kind of made my own line with it and did what I did.
Yeah. And what a great guy David Levitt is. And thanks to all of them Arizona guys for coming in the truck series and racing with us down there in Blythe.
And David's one of those guys that every time, I know he even posted on his Facebook, he was like, I hate losing, but he always has a smile on his face. He's always that guy, and he was very respectful. He's like, look, RJ kicked my ass pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, without saying it.
Yeah, no, he was all weekend. I first actually met him in the hotel eating breakfast, and he was like, "Hey, man," and introduced himself to me, and I told him that I was racing a 9 truck, and you know, we're good buddies with Donnie and everything. And he's like, "Oh, okay,
oh,
cool."
I probably wouldn't have said that part. I would have probably left that part out.
But no, so he was like, "Well, best of luck to you, and we'll see you out there." And you know, so I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know if he knew who I was or anything. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he's from down Tucson area. I don't know exact city he's in, but he's down there in Tucson somewhere. And let me tell you, man, that man is a great man to know. He's like Justin says, he's always got a smile on his face, even when he's paying with a credit card. He's got a smile on his face. You know, no matter what he does, he's always happy to do it.
And he was raised that way because Barry Levitt wrecked his street stock, and he's sitting there, just wrecked car pretty bad. We're helping him, you know, hook it up to the tow truck. We're talking to him. I take his hood off, and he's sitting there apologizing to me and Arlie for making us go out there to get him. I'm like, this is part of our job.
Right,
like,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that was really nice. I talked to him first originally at the hotel and asked me, are you guys out there with that street stock? He goes, yeah, it's my street stock. You're racing Havasu, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, I got to find a tire shop.
Yeah, Barry and David are just good people to know out there. And all the Truck Series guys, they really are. And we talk about it all the time. And you've seen nobody really was wrecking each other.
One of the most clean races I've been a part of in a long time, especially racing Narga. I mean, everybody wants to kill everybody.
You don't see the blocking. You just see some good racing usually with the trucks. I mean, there's one or two guys that have been known to ruffle a little feathers, but for the most part, it's besides that 65 truck, he's pretty good.
No, you're right. He is pretty good.
The 65 truck got out of my way just fine, so I'm all right. But I knew coming into it, everybody was respectful and had a respect for each other. So I knew, you know, coming in, I didn't want to rough anybody up. I didn't want to wreck the truck. I didn't want to have to pay for it or fix it. So, you know,
yeah.
But I knew running right behind David like that the whole race. I just knew not to rough him up.
Yeah.
Donnie was telling me how nice of a guy he was and everything, and what a stand-up guy. And I could see that as well. I talked to him a little bit in the autograph session.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just tell he's a stand-up guy. And I don't want to put my reputation out there as all this.
Oh, we already know that reputation.
Well,
anyway.
That's your best.
I'm just kidding with you.
But, so I didn't, you know, I don't like people think, oh, so that Smotherman kid, he's going to race me. He's going to run into me every chance he gets.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
It was like somebody walked up to me and asked me who was in the 9 truck. I was like, his name's RJ Smotherman. And they're like, we never heard of him. I was like, he drives an ARCA. I was like, we've known him since many stocks him.
That was like 4 or 5 years old, man.
I think he was in diapers when I knew him.
Probably. I said, Pump Valley Speedway.
Yeah.
That's how I remember him, so. Do you want to talk about Blythe right now?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick?
First off, I want to say thanks to all them guys that came from Havasu on Saturday night to come race in Blythe on Sunday with us in the street stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to
Jim Vermillion that won.
Vermillion,
he won Havasu Saturday.
Yes. And then I will pull a hockey move here, but due to a lower body injury, he could not make the main event in the...
That's why I wasn't sure. I seen him spin it, and I didn't know if he broke something or whatnot.
Yeah,
but
he couldn't make it, and that was his own choice. You know, okay, fine. But congratulations to him for winning that $4,000 in Havasu
and
coming to try to win the $1,500. That would have been a great weekend for that man.
And I talked to the lady that was with him. I don't know if it was wife or girlfriend or whatnot. She was, like, praising us and said how cool it is that we set up that race the day after that so they all can come down. She was talking about the tire roll and was like, that's awesome that you guys – and she was like, Jim went out and bought American Racers and Hoosiers to make sure no one said anything to him.
Oh.
And I was like, I appreciate that, you know.
Thanks
so,
for that. But, yeah.
And
speaking of that, remind you, that was the only race, the street stock race, that we could race both tires for that race only. It's American Racers from here on out.
And I wish more Havasu guys came down. But unfortunately, I did hear that race was kind of a little wrecked up, and I think a lot of cars got a little beat up. And Tony Forfa came down. He was in Havasu, and he raced Blythe. And so was Sutterfield, Michael Sutterfield.
Yep. Sutterfield raced
Barry both. Levitt also did both.
Yep.
And Jim Vermillion. But,
and speaking of that, a big congratulations goes out to Richard Self for winning the Tame the Beast 70 $1,500 to win show. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, he definitely figured that track out, and that is his hometown track, and
yes.
he's turned a lot of laps around that track, and he is one of our regulars, so it was good to see one of our regulars walk away with the money, and then the money's not traveling.
Yeah,
so.
And by the way, I hope Richard Self's listening, because I am expecting my Reese's Peanut Butter Cups on March 9th, the next race.
Well, I don't know what he said in his victory lane speech, but I heard him say, I got to buy Gary this or something like that.
Reese's.
So,
he said, I'll buy Reese's for Gary. Yeah.
But,
so I'm expecting them on March 9th. And speaking of March 9th, we got a, I'm not going to say.
He is listening because he just said they're on their way, brother.
All right.
He's definitely listening.
I'm waiting, Richard.
And move around to the factory stocks.
Factory stocks, yes.
Chris Vinhurst finally shook the monkey off his back and got that win. Him and Andrew Anderson put on a hell of a show.
Andrew, that's who I was thinking of. I'm sorry. Andrew made the two-night race,
also.
Or two-day race, if two-night, two-day, whatever you want to call it, the weekend race,
yeah.
One in Havasu and one in Blythe. So
he put on a hell of a show, and he was giving Chris everything he had, and Chris just held him off just enough. And I think that's the first time Chris's car hasn't broke. If I have to give him a little shit.
Yes.
Mark Barth was standing behind me and was like, it only took him 10 years, but he finally did it.
That was a clean
and,
car.
And
yeah.
And congratulations to him for winning the factory stock race, Chris Vinhurst. So,
Arizona Shea finished third. That was
yes.
the final. And then Ashley Garrett, she had a rough little go.
Oh, yeah.
But she is learning, and that's part of that class is figuring it out and learning as you go. And
That's part of the factory stocks is learning as you go.
I say her and her parents are trying everything they had. And
yeah.
she's a young, what is she, 16 or 17?
Oh.
I'm not even sure her age, but
she's young.
She's young, and her parents are trying to get her to have some fun going. And
like you say, Arizona finished mm-hmm. third, so great for Arizona. Races and a second and a third. So
I will say Arizona did have it going against her. She couldn't even reach the gas pedal.
Oh, so she was only half throttle.
She was. She looked at me and was like, my leg is cramping, and this was sitting in lineup, and she went and they went out and ran 25 laps, and her leg was completely stretched. She's doing this with her toe because, as you know, her car didn't make it with an engine issue.
I think she likes that Ford a lot better than she likes that Chevy.
We'll see
what
happens there. Mini stocks. I can't pronounce the kid's name. I don't want to mispronounce
with
the
that.
Kid's name.
You know, there's a lot of those cars,
uh-huh.
and a lot of them were really good looking. I'm so used to dirt mini stocks.
Well, that's all of Mark Barth's farm.
Yeah.
That's
his
farm.
I was going to say his farm or his tribe, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll try to pronounce it. Juan Andrade.
Okay.
Driving the 7, the bomb pop car. He was out there handing out bomb pops before.
I didn't get one. I was so mad. I told my sister, I was like, dude, I see people walking around with bomb pops. Go find who's got them and get me one, please.
The car that looks like a big bomb
and
pop.
And by the time she got over there, it was too late.
And
I was like, dang
speaking
it.
Speaking of the bomb pops, not to get off the subject of that, but it's on my mind because if I don't say it, I'm going to forget it. Nice to see Michael back out there.
Mm-hmm.
He actually got a bomb pop, and I didn't. I was like, where the hell? But nice to see Michael back out there. So
yes,
let's go back to the winners and that young man that won.
One, and then Landon Barth finished second, and Dwight Kelly finished third, with Ryan Self finishing fourth, which is
Richard's
kid. And he's out there again, once I said. He's out there learning. I mean, that's another young kid he's just out there trying to learn his way. That was the mini stocks. And then I guess we'll talk about the LMTS trucks now in full.
Late model truck series.
Late model truck series. Our boy RJ Smotherman jumped in the truck and he put on a hell of a little show. And one of the guys commented, I don't know if you remember David B. He's from Prump also. Bruden something? I can't pronounce
Bodendorf or something?
Oh,
yeah.
Bodendorf, right.
He commented, it was like, holy crap, the white truck is all over the yellow truck. And I was like, he definitely was. He There might have been one little bump, but that's about it.
Yeah, I was just making sure that I went out there and raced them clean. I didn't, you know, like
but,
I said.
But like you say, the one little bump, you know, hey, we it,
35
racing,
laps,
racing.
35 laps inches away from each other and only one little tire mark.
Right, yeah. The white truck's got no tire marks on it. No, and I was surprised that there wasn't a yellow stripe across the front. I didn't paint that front bumper yellow. But, that was a really fun race. And those trucks are an absolute blast to run, man. I always watched them and thought, man, this thing's a really good, really fun to race. And so finally Donnie calls me. He's like, hey, I got a truck. Come, let's do this. And I was like, okay. He goes, but, you know, you got to come down here and set it up. So that's what we did all last week. And that's the setup king right there, Donnie. We didn't change one thing on that truck all weekend, added fuel.
Which is insane, because if you ever know Donnie, I spotted for him in Vegas, and it was the last minute, like, hey, I need you to come out here, spot for me real quick. I walked up, he had everything ripped off the car, he put it all back together, went out and practiced. Apparently he didn't like the way it practiced. He came back out, everything is back off the car. And so for you saying that you didn't touch anything,
that
I'm
sounds
like, wow.
Like Dane Alderman.
So, yeah, no, he didn't touch a thing on that car, and, you know, he told me exactly what to do in the shop, and I did exactly that, set everything where he wanted it, put it on the scales, numbers were pretty close, got them to where he liked, and he's like, I think you're good. He goes, but you're still going to finish second. So we took it out there. Friday night was a little bit of a challenge trying to figure out the track. You know, it's the first time, like I said, I've only seen it on aerial view of Google Maps. So.
And you were doing that on the way there.
Right, yeah, on the way there.
Something to do on the 3-hour drive.
I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, oh, let's see. We'll check it out.
You're
see
not
if
finding Blythe Speedway on iRacing.
No,
not yet.
Nothing even close to that on iRacing. I mean, actually, there might be a few tracks, but still. I mean, I feel like my biggest struggle there was getting through 3 and 4. That corner is like three different corners. Like, because on Friday night, what I had figured out was my first lap on the track, I turn into turn 3 and I'm at the apron. So I'm like, oh crap, turn up and I'm at the wall. And I'm like, oh crap. So I turn back down and I'm apron and off the corner. So I'm like, still just trying to figure out how to drive that track. And then finally Saturday, you know, I could see the track a little better, got to, you know, get a look at a few cars driving around it before I went out for practice, and I finally picked up on it, followed David around the track a little bit, and then kind of from there moved myself around. The heat race was good to have for, you know, to find a line, and once we got to the main, I felt like we were pretty good. Luckily, I got a really good pill drop for the freaking heat race. I was like, everybody was pulling out 30s and 40s, and I was like, oh man, here we go. I never have good luck in pill draws. My dad's always had good luck in pill draw. He raced in Blythe 35, 40 years ago with Don Zoll.
No.
And in the street stocks and bombers, or I don't know what the hell they were called back then, but he was telling me on the way there that the last time he raced there, it was a 50 lap street stock race. Some, I don't know, big money race, and he was racing his hobby stock. He said he pulled a one for the start of the race. So he started on the pole. He said he led 49 of the 50 laps that got passed in the last lap. Oh. He said he blocked his ass off. But, just I had to pace myself for the race. I didn't think I was going to get too good of a fire off. I knew I was better on the long run than the short run.
Yeah.
And so finally got, you know, I mean, me and David were pretty much hooked together the whole race. I there was moments where I was pushing him on the whole racetrack, and that was just, honestly, that was the most fun I've ever had in a race car. And it was a refresher being able to run up front and race with guys that, you know, have a little more respect. Because, I mean, not knocking the ARCA series, but these guys are all just have so much money. They don't care how they drive. They just, I mean,
us broke folks can't drive.
Exactly, right, dude. I'm like, man, I work week to week so I can make it to the racetrack. And, you know, even in the ARCA, that's hard to do. And, you know, everybody's still out there and beats and bangs. Like, these cars are freaking many stocks. Like, I mean, I've seen cleaner demo derbies in ARCA races,
and I did talk to David Levitt after the race, and he said that's one of the most fun he's ever had racing.
Yeah,
was racing you.
Me too. Racing him was just, it was an absolute treat. That's all I gotta say. I mean, it
and you made him use his stuff up.
Oh yeah, I knew riding right behind him. My dad's on the radio. He's like, all right, dude, if you keep riding behind him like this, you're gonna wear him out, and he's gonna wear his stuff out. And I could tell it from the start, because I instantly put pressure on him. I mean, I wasn't gonna let off and let him relax.
You're gonna let him know you're there.
Yeah, I gotta let him know I'm there.
Yeah.
So he would what I figured with him doing, he would run a really shallow line on the entry of 3 and 4, and he would kind of try to make it just one circle. Well, I feel like 3 and 4, you got to make, like I said, 2 or 3 different corners out of that corner to get through it good and get out of it good. So I would run in like probably a lane higher, and then I'd drift up to the center and run a diamond line, but I would make sure I hit the apron at the left front every time coming off of 4. And he would just run such a shallow line that he would get tight every time off of 4, because I know he was trying to keep me behind him, and I know he was using the mirrors too,
or a spotter.
Yeah, as a spotter too. Well, I'm sure he was spotting the whole time. He's there.
I was spotting for Gary, and I kept saying, I was like, RJ's kicking his ass in 3 and 4, because whatever you were doing, you just seen like there was a gap, and then you were there, and then you got back out, and you were just pushing him all the way down the front stretch. And I was like, RJ's gonna catch him.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the whole deal was not letting him get too far out on me. And if he got too far out on me, then he gets a chance to cool his stuff down and relax himself. You got to keep him. I know he's a big guy, and I don't care how much weight you lift or whatever. If you're a bigger guy, you're gonna get worn out no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so I know with him being a bigger guy like that, you think about it. You think, okay, if he doesn't relax, then he's not gonna. If he doesn't relax, he's gonna wear out. So
he was definitely looking in that mirror the whole entire race, because you never.
All I can see was a white blob. I was up his tailgate.
Yeah, and Don Zoll was definitely behind you guys, trying everything he had.
I know.
He was hoping one of you two would just touch each other, and he would just squeeze on by.
Right. I could see him in my mirror, and he was dogging it. I mean, just absolutely on the gas. But yeah, so I think I don't remember what lap it was I passed David. It was probably lap 20. It was somewhere around 25 or so. But
yeah, you led, because you led probably the last like 9 to 10 laps of that.
Yeah, and so I knew when I saw my hole open up, I knew that was it. I knew that was my time to go. If I had any time, that was it. Because I had tried it a few times on coming off of 4, and because like you were saying, like I was saying, he couldn't really get through 3 and 4 too well. So I would just.
I felt like he might have been looking in that mirror just trying to take whatever lane you thought you had away. But
oh, yeah.
It was hurting him in the long run.
Yeah, it really did. And he really did wear his stuff out. And so, I mean, I'd run just such a big arc on the entry of 4 that I would just drive straight off the corner, and it would be straight. And I was not wearing my tires out one bit.
And it's crazy because everybody I talk to hates 3 and 4, because they said coming off of 4 is such a hard thing to figure out, but you figured it out like that, and everybody else is bombing through 1 and 2, and yours was definitely 3 and 4. You were kicking ass. So
yeah, one and two is a little bit more tricky for me, because of the concrete patches over there. There's some of them are
and let's not take nothing away from David Levitt.
Yeah,
David Levitt's great driver.
Oh yeah, hell of a driver. That's what they were saying. That's what Don Zoll told me. That's what a few people told me. They're like, this guy's really good at this track. So
yeah,
if you're gonna beat him, you're gonna have to,
you're gonna have to work for it.
Yeah,
he's a tough guy.
Oh yeah, he definitely made me work for it. You know, and riding behind him, it was just patience and just waiting. And when I finally saw my chance, I took it, and we ran door to door for 2-3 laps, something like that.
And
in those 2-3 laps, it's such a tight track, so low grip, so many bumps. I mean, so much character that we touched once or twice, and that was on the entry of 1. And then once I got around them, we were all good. And I think he was trying a little too hard, and he knocked the wall down on the front truck or something like that. But
he rubbed it once, and then Zoli hit it pretty good on the backstretch. So.
Oh, don't worry. Zoli's got those walls taken care of. Believe me when I tell you.
Poor Arlie. Arlie was telling me all weekend. He's like, don't hit the walls. I got to fix them.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, the late model trucks, those things are absolute blast. And I appreciate everyone having me join in with them, you know. And I knew it was just a group of racers,
mm-hmm.
old school blue collar racers. And that's what I've always been.
I'd say if you look at the plaque over here of all the drivers that I've raced, and almost all of them are.
You don't see hardly any of them come from money,
yep.
come from a big bank account. And it's a refresher
yep.
to see that, you know, we got a group of guys that earn their money and they spend it on racing
yep.
and they have fun doing it.
I just want to go have fun doing it. That's all.
Exactly.
And I will throw this out there that we do have trucks up for rent. You can rent one of those trucks and jump into them.
I'll set it up.
I'll say, if you can't get a hold of RJ or me or Gary, message the show, message anything.
Yeah.
BlytheSpeedway.com has the phone numbers on there for Gary, and it's easy to contact Gary. So, and he will set something up, or even Don Zoll.
Absolutely.
I know everybody knows Don Zoll. So.
Yeah, well, me and Donnie, I'll tell you, we'll set it up. And it'll be real good.
Yeah.
Because that truck we set up for me, I mean, that thing was just absolutely on rails all weekend.
Yeah, I know you were in the shop all weekend, and you got to meet my kids. And my kids were like, I want him to win. I was like, well, he did. So you got your wish. They don't cheer for Uncle Gary no more. They just cheer for anybody against Uncle Gary, apparently.
Yeah, no, and, you know, I like to pride myself on being approachable
mm-hmm.
and marketable
mm-hmm.
and, you know, stuff like that. I like to be friendly and make friends with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have an enemy.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody to, you know, dislike me because of the way I drive or, you know, how I treat fans or anything like that. You know, I talk to anybody and everybody.
And that's a good thing.
Hold
to
on,
have.
We got a caller.
How you doing, caller?
Hey, RJ, it's Dean. How you doing, man?
Dean, good to hear from you, Dean.
I got one thing to say about RJ. Well, I got a couple things. I love watching this guy run the ARCA series because the top five guys are usually like the same top five guys, and then you got RJ, and I'm like, dude, he loves to upset the apple cart, and he can run those guys down. It's so much fun. I really would like to see him get a full-time top flight ride in the ARCA West, and I hope he does this year because he sure as hell deserves it. So if you get a chance to go out there and watch him race, man, he gets anywhere around the top 10 and he's sniffing around, it's a race you want to watch, man. If he's got a 10th place car, he'll put it up there around 5th, and from that point, you never know what's going to happen. But guy is exciting to watch, man.
Appreciate you, Dean. It's good hearing from you, man. Dean, he helped me out this year in the ARCA when I was racing for the with my original team and with the Jacksons. And hell of a crew guy. Awesome dude. Fun to be around. I love Dean. And, you know, it's good to hear from him. Every time I see him, it's always, hey, how you doing, man? So good to hear from you, Dean.
We have some fun, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We sure do.
I mean, I feel
you're
like that's what racing all about.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
We're on with your show, and I hope I see you. Are you at Phoenix or not?
We're still trying to round up some sponsors for that. That's an expensive weekend. But if not Phoenix, we're trying to get cars from John Wood, like we were racing at the end of last year. And Donnie wants to, because he helped us out in Vegas at the last ARCA race I ran. And he was doing setup on the car for us a little bit. He didn't really have a baseline setup to put on it, but if I can get him to put a baseline setup on an ARCA car for me, I can guarantee it'll be a top five car.
Oh yeah, well I would take that bet for damn sure. Again, man, anybody that's listening, you ever get a chance to watch this kid race, it's worth the price of admission because it's the same old boring. Well, I'm not gonna use the word, but when you watch some of these races, and they're crash fest, you know, and you watch RJ. I think, like, I don't know where you qualified. You know what? I watched a couple of your last races. You were 12th, 13th, 15th, whatever. After a couple of yellows, I'm like, man, this dude's in sixth, man. And he's pressing for you know, better positions. And then I start paying attention because maybe we're not doing so well. I'm not looking at our car anymore, but I'm watching RJ. And he takes, again, if it's a 10th place car, and I'm watching him, and I'm thinking there's nobody in the pit area that's going to get a better position at this time than him. He's like extracting everything out of that car he can. You watch him real close, and the guy's studying, and he's going to school as he's racing. He doesn't bang his crap up. He finishes the races. So, again, man, I hope that you find something to share, that somebody will put a car underneath you, because you're definitely – if you had a car behind you, I'd be looking at you going, yeah, all these other teams with the big money, that's cool. But you'd be top five at that point, and then you can do the rest. But, yeah, man, get on with your show, and I hope I see you in Phoenix. And if not – I still got your glasses, brother.
Thanks, Dean. I'll make sure I grab them from you, buddy.
All right. Hey, take care, RJ.
You too, dude.
Bye.
Good to hear from him. Yeah, he's been a crew guy of mine for, year and a half or so now.
I mean, that's good to always have support like that of apparently other teams.
Oh, yeah.
That's your old team.
And he works close with Nick Janitis. So he's always been with them. But, yeah, no, like you said, I mean, it's just, for me, I like to study everyone. And I like to let everybody weed themselves out. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. I mean, the race is 150 laps, not 10, you know. Everybody likes to go out there in the first 140 in a race. I like to go out there in the last, I like to race after 140 and make sure I have something to race after 140.
Save them tires.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal. And, you know, those tires are big old fat, heavy slicks. They're radial, so they're heavy. But they got a little bit of grip. They're expensive, man. I'm telling you.
Obviously, you told me first about the tires in Phoenix, and then your dad was talking to me when he checked in at Blythe, and I was like, so I heard something about, like, $2,500 for a set of tires, and you guys need, what, 10 of them for Phoenix?
Yeah, so it's $2,500 a set for Phoenix tires, and we use 10 tires the whole weekend. We're allowed 10 tires. ARCA allows us 10 tires. So
that's a pretty penny right there.
So tire bill for Phoenix is $7,000, $7,500. And then I was just looking at hotels the other day for down there. Hotel prices are $250 a night, and that's for like a Super 8.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm like, that's why it's questionable for Phoenix this year, because, I mean, we don't have any sponsors other than our local sponsors that help us out, you know, $500-$600, which is, you know, as a racer, you know, any amount helps. Anything helps. But, I mean, when you're at a level like that,
yeah.
it and being, you know, just we show up in a 48-foot gooseneck with a pickup truck and a small railway toolbox, and you know, the corporate sponsors, they like big flashy entrances and everything like that. They're not going to go for the
big
guy.
Big featherlight trailer.
Right, yeah. They're not going to go for a guy in a gooseneck. And it's just, but we do.
But remind you, you have just as much fun as those guys in that gooseneck.
And I spend a tenth of their budget.
Yeah.
We raced Vegas in October. We probably spent $2,500 to go racing that weekend. When I know the kid in the Venerini car that won the championship was paying $90,000 a race. So I spent a tenth of his budget, and I had just as much fun, and I still got hit by him. He still hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to put that out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But when you started racing, did you ever think you'd go ARCA?
You know,
coming from Nevada.
Right, yeah, racing at the dirt track. Well, I mean, originally we started racing out here at the Bowling and Bandos and everything,
yeah.
But, I mean, that always the goal has been to make it to the Cup Series, but, like, as you grow older and as you start hearing more and learning more, you realize how damn expensive this stuff is, man. And it's like,
and it's only getting worse.
And it's a total heartbreaker when you're 13 years old and you're like, that's when I about realized, is 12, 13 years old. When I started racing junior late models in Madera, that's when I realized, because it was, I mean, shoot, we were spending $3,500, $4,000 a weekend to go race in Madera. And that's a freaking junior late model, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that was in 2017 when stuff was cheap.
Cheaper.
Yeah, right. So, but
you can afford to go race.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we would just barely scrape by getting out there and racing, but we always had a blast. But around then is when I realized that it's like, okay, well,
unless
I'm not making it to Cup on my money, that's for dang sure.
Well, I feel like that's the time guys need to take chances on the blue collar guys, because I think if the blue collar guys are going to go out there and understand, like, look, I ain't got the big budget, I can't wreck this if I want to continue this next week. I think more guys need to look at that, but I understand daddy's dollar goes a long way.
Yeah, it definitely does, and a lot of these kids don't realize, you know, what I do to get out there compared to them. You know, they can have grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, whoever flip the bill for them. Of, you know, cars 30 grand to rent this race, and here's a check.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out here.
And then when they wreck it, they say, oh, grandpa, just write a check.
Just
I'll
write
be
a
here
check
next week.
Yeah, and then they wreck a guy like me. And I missed the last two races a year because I got hit so many times in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a shame how it is now. But you play the cards you're dealt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. That's what we've always done.
Yeah, but unfortunately that is the truth, and everything's just getting more and more expensive. So in 10 years it'll be triple that.
Hopefully not.
And in everything.
Thanks.
Am I wrong?
I got that to look forward.
Yeah, am I wrong about that?
How do you think I feel? I'm 18, man. Yeah.
I got a long
time left in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like I said, I think the blue-collar kid needs to get more shots.
Yeah, and, you know, I appreciate everyone that has given me a shot to get me to this point. I mean, there's so many people. There's a laundry list of people that have helped me get to where I am, and you know, without all of them, I wouldn't be able to do it. My dad has been there since day one. And, you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know how me and my dad are. I ride with my dad everywhere we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way since I've been able to. And, you know, without him and my grandpa, too, of course, my whole family, man. I mean, just everybody that can help me get out there helps me. And
even when Miss Entertainment goes in, just if she checks your tire pressure.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I will say your biggest fan definitely has to be your sister. I was sitting behind her. Me and my brother were sitting behind her in Vegas during the ARCA race, and she was screaming for you. You got a sister that loves you.
Everybody says that. Everybody's like, man, your sister is just up there going nuts when you race. And I'm like, oh.
They obviously don't know your sister before the
race. Right. So, yeah, no, she's always been a huge supporter of me and, you know, my parents. And
she's always gave you a rough ride when you guys were racing.
When we raced together in mini stocks, you know. Me and her race side by side, real tight all the time. So, yeah, but I realized that, you know, it's going to take a whole hell of a lot more money than I got to get to where I need to go. And we're doing it on a shoestring budget. And like you said, did I ever think I'd be in the ARCA series? If I was, I pretty much, before I got my shot, I kind of gave up. I kind of thought, well, you know what? I was like 16. I was like, all these other kids are starting to
hit the ramps as far as I'm going.
Right. So I was like, well, you know, maybe my chance is up. Maybe I felt like I was too old. I was, let's see, 22, I was 16 or 17. I think I was 17. So I was like, well, this is as far as we're getting, and this is as far as I'm going to get. And then, you know what, I accepted that. I was content with that. And then finally I got the call, hey, look, we need a truck driver. Your dad's got a CDL. And you can drive my other car. Okay, sure. And then that led to other things and led me to where I'm at now. And, you know, without my dad having a CDL, I probably wouldn't be an ARCA driver. But, so.
I mean, you're never too old, because look at Josh Berry.
He's you know what?
A cup shot.
That's true. So, yeah, and, you know.
Like Dale Earnhardt Jr. found him on iRacing.
Right, yeah.
And
then now he's racing for Tony Stewart. And Tony Stewart, he's none of those guys are hardly bringing any funding. I know Josh Berry's not. I don't think Gregson is. Gregson's, you know, he's always had money.
Yeah,
but
he's always had a backing.
But you know, he brings a little bit, but he doesn't bring enough to fund a whole season. And then I know for sure Ryan Preece doesn't bring enough to fund a whole season. So, but, you know, Tony Stewart hires those guys, and it's refreshing to see that. And to see a guy want to hire these blue-collar racers.
And that was the big thing. I'm a huge Kyle Larson fan, and Tony Stewart even said he was like, I want Larson just because he doesn't come from that money.
Right, yeah, and he's a local dirt kid.
There's pictures when he was younger, his dad driving a little minivan with a little trailer behind him with a little quarter midget on the back, and that's where he got started.
Like my dad in his yellow box truck.
Yep.
Exactly.
And the little white trailer behind it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and look where Larson is. Look where all those guys are. I mean, Josh Berry all of a sudden struck gold by being with Earnhardt.
Making friends with Dale Earnhardt on a video game.
Yeah.
I will say, oh, there's your sister right now. RJ is pretty rad. I'm a fan for life. But Andrew Anderson just commented and said, my kid wanted to say thank you to RJ for the hero card. He was excited to have an autograph from a NASCAR ARCA car on it. He has a new favorite driver now. His dad should be his favorite, but whatever.
Yeah, I was parked next to him during the autograph session, and he pulled up in his grocery getter bomber. I was like, I heard it pull up, and I was like, you want to get groceries in that thing? It was so quiet. But, yeah, no, he asked me for a couple cards. You know, I'll give anybody a card. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you don't. I'm going to – if you're walking by, I'm going to say, hey, do you want a card?
Because
that's how you get yourself out there.
And we've said it 1,000 times on this show. Those autograph sessions might be stupid to the drivers, and they don't care, and they hate doing them every week. But guess what? That little kid coming out of the stands that's maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, that makes their night when they actually get to meet the driver,
yeah.
And they actually get to say, hey, look, I'm going to cheer for that guy.
And I can attest to that, man. I remember being 6, 7 years old going to the K&N West races at the Bullring and just getting to meet – a NASCAR driver. It's just, I mean, it's when you're that young and you're a race fan like that, it's a feeling like no other. And I remember being that kid that's coming up to me to get an autograph.
Yeah. And for me, I have said, if I ever get to run a track, there'll be an autograph session every race. And like Justin just said, some of the drivers don't like it, but, you know, for me, if that 1 6-year-old kid goes to that driver that don't like it and just pulls on a shirt and says, hey, do you drive this car? I want my autograph. That's fine. That's all it's about for me.
That's all it's about.
One kid out of everybody, you know. And like Patrick just said, a lot of them don't like it, but, you know, that's part of the racetrack. So.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I've never not liked an autograph session. So I've always loved it. And, you know, there could be that one old fellow that comes out of the stands that's got a fat wallet that says, hey, I like how this kid drives. I like how he looks. I like how he presents himself. Hell, I like his number. I like the way his car looks.
I like the color of his number.
Right, yeah. You know, anything. I like the wheels that he's got on his car. You know, his wheels are powder-coated candy red. I like those wheels. Hey, you know, you're looking for a sponsor? Well, hell yeah. And then you're sponsored, you know.
Never turn down a sponsor.
No.
Even if it's $20, never turn down a sponsor.
Yeah, you know, $20. It doesn't get you much nowadays. But it all helps.
Yeah, I like the autograph sessions, you know, and ours is usually 45 minutes, but because we were running behind Sunday, we kind of cut a little short, but just remember the longer the autograph session was on Sunday, we would have been further behind. So yeah, we did cut it and I don't like it, but that's what the time allowed. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's always
RJ lost the fan that right there. If you're going to hand out popsicles, I'm also a fan for life. Your sister said that. So you're chopped liver.
I
got to
start handing out
popsicles.
That's a fan favorite. I remember at the bowling, guys would hand out, if they did an autograph session, because they usually always do an autograph session on the July 3rd race. Mm-hmm. Guys would bring dry ice and a cooler and hand out the
little pops.
The little I forget what the IC pops or whatever they're called.
The little tube things. Yeah.
Yeah, that was always a big hit. I got to start doing that.
Yeah, just let me know so I can go to your trailer before an autograph session. Okay.
You live on?
Yeah.
The old grocery getter runs is ugly, but it runs pretty good. That's what Andrew just said.
Hey, you were hounding that dude. I was watching him in the lineup. You were hounding that dude in the weeds, but that was pretty cool to watch.
I think Chris has had some bad luck last year and this year of keeping that damn car together, and he finally got over that hump. So I give it to him on that. But let's talk about sponsorship. What's your future looking like? What do you plan to do this year? And
yeah, so
besides running a late model truck series,
right? Yeah, I told Gary after Sunday, I said as long as you have a truck for me to race, is as long as I will race. And so, but I mean, we're still looking for a sponsor for the season. You know, at the rate we're at right now, we can make, there's 12 races, we can make maybe 4 or 5. With the money we're on right now. But, you know, even if we make 4 or 5, we have a good chance. If I have a good chance to make a good, impression in those 4 or 5 races, somebody may watch it on TV and say, hey, let's get this kid some money or something. But as of right now, we're going to do as many as we can. And if we miss some, we miss some. If not, if we don't. But it's always fun, no matter what. That's my main goal is go out there and have fun, win. Always, you always want to win, but I mean, that series is so competitive. ARCA West is far more competitive than any of the other ARCA series, the National Series, the East Series. ARCA West has more competition than any of them. So that I'm glad for that, but I'd like to run a full season, but if we don't, we don't.
With that being said, how do they get a hold of you if somebody sees this or somebody sees you run and says, hey, I want to throw some money? Do you have Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, so I got Facebook and Instagram. My Instagram is RJ Smotherman with 2 N's on the Smotherman, and then my Facebook is just my name, RJ Smotherman. I'll comment on this and put my thing in there so you guys can, message me, give me a call, give me a text. I'll give you my phone number, and I do have a sponsorship packet that I've been emailing to any company that I can see, man. I email it, and it never hurts to ask my dad. If that's one thing my dad has taught me, it doesn't hurt to ask. He'll ask anybody. He'll ask your mother for a sponsor, and without him, I wouldn't have any sponsors. Cause I'm not quite that boastable. I don't go out there and ask everyone for a sponsor, but he sure as hell will. And, I'm thankful for that. So my name is RJ Smotherman. So you can just email me, text me, anything. And like we said, anything helps.
Mm-hmm. Even $5, trust me.
That's right.
Anything helps.
That's right.
Any local racing? Are you running late models this year?
So
do you have any?
We do have our brand new late model that we have, but we haven't finished it yet. We're still working on finishing that. So that's what my dad said. My dad said if we don't, make ARCA races, we'll take the money that we could have spent that weekend and spend it on your late model, make it better, finish it up, get it ready for the season. So if we do finish it, mm-hmm. I'd like to do some of the new cars tour, West Pro Late Model stuff, do some of that on the bigger tracks like Kern and Irwindale, and then also race out here locally with the Bullring sometimes if we can. If not, I'm not too worried about running out here so much, but I'd like to go with a couple with the plane, with the,
couple more truck races.
Oh, if I can run the whole season, I'm going to run it. If you guys let me run the whole season, I'm running it.
How many tracks have you hit on the West Coast?
So far?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. Evergreen. I'm going to make my way from north to south. So Evergreen.
And was that with the ARCA?
That was with the ARCA, yeah. That was just, I only raced her one time. That was the start in Parkdale to start off my career. But that was a lot of fun. I had like 250 lap road tires, and I was running right in the top 10, right behind Keller, and he finished. I don't remember where he finished, but I was right behind him, and he was on stickers. So, but yeah. So Evergreen, I've raced in. I've been to Portland, but I didn't race there. I've been to Sonoma, but I didn't race there. Roseville, that's probably one of the most fun tracks I've ever raced on. Madera, Havasu, I'm all over now. So Havasu, the Bullring, Phoenix, Blythe, no. That was a fun.
Make sure you got that Blythe.
That's a fun track. I really enjoyed Blythe. Let's see. Irwindale, Kern, Irwindale small track, the Las Vegas road course.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can think of off the top. Dirt tracks. I raced Pahrump.
I'm about to say, those dirt tracks.
Pahrump, Bakersfield, the big dirt track out here in Vegas.
Mojave?
No, I haven't. No. We never raced Mojave.
Mojave's fun.
Yeah, it seems like it. But our mini stocks never had the gearing to go there, so I'd have got whomped.
How many different type of cars have you driven? Mini stock, ARCA?
Yeah, mini stock, ARCA, late model, super late model, junior late model. They're all the same car, but different variations.
Mm-hmm.
I did drive a dirt modified. I drove asphalt modified, street stock, the late model truck. Believe that's it. I'm sure I'm forgetting. I have a terrible memory.
So there's definitely experience behind it.
Yeah.
For all those future sponsors. But...
I got them. I have nine championships and over 125 wins in 11 years now that I've been racing. Anywhere from bandos to mini stock to late model truck. Anything like that.
Dylan just said.
I did drive a Legend car once. That was a hoot.
She got your back.
Oh yeah. Oh, a bando. I forgot about that. That's where it started.
And that was the road course, right?
That was definitely
did road course for that.
Road course and the bando. I didn't do a road course and a Legend. I really want to try that out. That seems like a lot of fun. But road course and the bando is also a lot of fun. You take a little. Those things are freaking tiny, and you're doing 120 on the straightaway.
Yeah, without those restrictor plates, those things move.
So they get going. But, I mean, yeah, I've raced against – the people I've raced against, it's just crazy because it's like – I raced against Jesse Love.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Xfinity now, mm-hmm. racing for Richard Childress. I raced against Haley Deegan. She's in Xfinity racing for whoever.
Dylan.
Oh, skid blades.
Hello.
That's the hardest of them all.
He'll vouch for that.
Yeah, those skid plates are definitely a hoot to drive. Those things are hard to drive. Figured it out. Yeah, I eventually won so many races. They had me start on the ramp coming onto the track. I poked right up on the track.
Yeah, that is. I do remember that. And that was your old dirt car, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Your dad's dirt car.
Yeah. It was the family car.
The family car.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody raced that thing. But, yeah, finally. But, yeah, I goes, nice. Just take it. Race it in the skid plate.
I know where there's a super stock sitting right now that has to get put together, and maybe you'll jump into that.
Maybe. That's Dylan's car. See, that's her baby. So Don's trying to get that fixed up for us to get back on the track.
Don's trying to get a lot of shit fixed up right now.
Yeah, he's spread about this thin, you know, trying to get everything done. But no, Don's been a heck of a help for us in the last couple of years, you know. And like I said, him and my dad raced forever ago, you know, together and had a shop together, lived together, did everything together, you know. So, but just him and my dad finally rekindling the friendship. After being apart for so many years, they, you know, he's given me a bunch of opportunity and, you know, putting my name out there for me. So I really appreciate that from Don.
Well, so he did have a lot of good things to say about you. Even when we were just sitting in the shop before you even got in the truck, he kind of put your name out there and told us a lot of good things. But we've known you for years on doing that shit. So.
You don't realize how far we go back.
Right? Yeah, I've known Gary for 15, 15 years now. I mean, it's crazy to think that I was like somebody and I know. I'm like, oh man, I've known you for 15 years. I'm 18. I'm like,
my mom was like, I don't remember a lot about him, but he still looks the same. Just got bigger.
Just got bigger, right?
and I have
a cheesy mustache now.
All right, now we got a couple minutes left. Is there any sponsors? Any people you want to thank over the years?
Over the years, you know, my dad, my mom for sure for supporting me and, you know, putting me in a race car and willing to, you know, spend their lives and spend all their money on me to go racing. You know, that's just what they have done for me. I can't even repay. And my sister always for being out there, being a big supporter, my grandpa, my grandma, aunts, uncles, everybody. I mean, and then my sponsors that I've had, every sponsor I've had since I started racing. Affordable Autos out in Pahrump, they still sponsor me. Jerry Pippen and Brad and everybody out there. Dan Snowden, Snowden's Landscaping, Jake Snowden. They've been a big supporter of mine forever now. Jim Wolfenstein. He's always been a very big supporter. My dad worked for him. I worked for him. You know. Now just in the recent years, it's been, you know, Donzo's been helping me out with set up on my late models or the trucks or the ARCA cars. I'm sure there's a lot of people that I'm forgetting. John Wood, he's been a big help for us recently. He owns the ARCA team I race for now, and he pretty much, he lets us take the cars. He said, take the cars. As long as you pay for it, I don't care. You can run them. So that's been a very, very nice deal with him. So pay for damages, fix it, you know, whatever.
And that's the guy that's out of Pahrump as well, right?
No, that's Jerry Pitts.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got him confused.
I'd love to race for him, but he requires backing. So working in the shop doesn't pay that one off. So John Wood, he lives in Idaho. He built that brand new track that's in Idaho. It's called Blue Valley Motorplex.
Oh,
yes. It's basically Roseville, but it's brand new. I mean, it's a beautiful racetrack. That's another track I've driven on now. But him, he's been a very big help in the last 6-8 months of my racing career, giving us cars, letting us race. So that's who we're planning on racing for this year, as many times as we can. And like I said, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people I'm forgetting. So thank you to everyone. Everyone watching
that.
Right, yes.
That was a safe bet.
All my fans, fans, sponsors, supporters, friends, family, everybody.
I bet when that mic is off, you're going to be able to tell us 10 more people.
I'm sure I'll be driving home and I'll be like, oh, man, I should have said this guy or this guy.
Yep.
Or you'll be getting phone calls.
Yeah, right, that too. I'll give
happens
calls
all the time. I can think of who I'm going to thank, but as soon as this
as
mic,
soon as
turns,
mic
on,
turns on, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Your or you got the mic in your face. Your
sister said, don't forget the Snowball Derby track.
Oh, I did race in Pensacola last year. Yeah, that was fun, but we sucked. But, you know.
It don't matter if you suck or not. It's racing experience.
Right. I get to say that I drove on Five Flags, you know. Yeah. And I also drove a hauler back from Texas, or from
Florida.
90 seconds?
Yep, 90 seconds.
That went pretty quick.
Yep.
That did go actually really fast.
With that 90 seconds, all I want to say congratulations to you in the Late Model Truck Series. Congratulations to all the winners this weekend, this past weekend in Blythe Speedway. All the winners, congratulations. And our next race in Blythe,
March 9th.
It will be March 9th. Everybody bring a 2x4. There's a birthday out there, so somebody's going to be getting some whippings.
Oh, man.
40 of them, to be exact. So we'll
I figured it out.
Yes. So, and then the Late Model Truck Series next race is March 16th.
I'm excited for that one. I love Lake Havasu.
So, and congratulations again to Jim for winning the memorial race for Bill Rizzoni's wife.
Yep.
Congratulations to him.
Yep.
I don't know much more about Havasu 95 Speedway. I didn't keep up with everything. I just kept up with the street track. So congratulations to all of them.
Yep, congratulations everybody, and thank you guys for having me on the show. Thank you for having me in the trust.
All right. Yes, yeah. All right, thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for listening.